The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And happy Constitution Day, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Great to have you with us today. It has been a tremendous broadcast week. This is the final broadcast day of the broadcast week. 3 hours of conservative conversation about to engage. And folks, we are delighted to have you, the fine listeners of this radio program, with us today. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number, and we would love for you to call in and join the conversation today. I thought, what better way to start out Constitution Day on the Todd Starnes radio program than by reading from the United States Constitution? And I want to begin by reading Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution. And this is the starting point for today's conversation, ladies and gentlemen. The United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government, and shall protect each of them against invasion. And on application of the legislature or of the executive, when the legislature cannot be convened, against domestic violence. So it is very clearly written out in the United States Constitution that the United States government is obligated to protect every state against invasion. And ladies and gentlemen, that is simply not happening in the state of Texas. It's not happening anywhere along our southern border, but especially in the state of Texas, where at this very moment, over 10,000 illegal aliens are pouring into the country. And we have all sorts of video, all sorts of evidence on our website to illustrate the dire situation in the state of Texas. So much so that the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, ordered that the border be closed. But President Biden intervened and says that is not going to happen. We are not going to allow the state of Texas to protect its borders. Not going to happen anymore. As a matter of fact, we have seen the video. We told you about this yesterday. We have even more video. And now the numbers yesterday, they said around 8,000 illegals had surged the border. Now we're understanding those numbers are well over 10,000. And we know that because Fox News was able to send up drones. And those drones were actually broadcasting the images of the illegals surging across the river, surging across the border, and making camp under these overpasses. When I first saw the videos of the illegals under the overpass, I originally thought, wow, this is happening in Kabul. I thought these were old images from Kabul, Afghanistan, but these were not old images. This is happening right here on American soil, where you have thousands and thousands of illegals, many of whom are infected with the China virus, surging across our border, and these people are then being transplanted into your cities and towns and communities. So the Biden administration, they're looking at this, and they understand look, they're not stupid. And they're sitting around the White House going, oh, geez, Lou, we've got a big problem here. because this is a super spreader event. And the mainstream media is possibly going to call us out on this. Well, we know they're not, but that's their thinking. So what did they do? Well, the Biden administration ordered Fox News to take down their drones. So the FAA just implemented a temporary flight restriction over the international bridge in Del Rio, Texas. So what does that mean? It means Fox can no longer fly their drones over the bridge to show you how massive of a crisis this is. They can't do it anymore. Now, the FAA says it was for a special security reason, but we all know what's going on here. The Biden administration does not want you to know what's happening south of the border. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to share something with you, something that got me whacked at Fox News Channel. I said back in 2019 that the United States was facing an invasion of illegal aliens. There was a time in American history, and some of you old codgers out there listening to the radio program, you might gather the youngsters around the radio so we can give them a little bit of history. There was a time in America when if you were, there was a time in world history. And let's just say that you decided to invade another country. You decided to come into another country without that country's permission. They used to call that an invasion. So the idea, the practice of coming into one country from another country without that country's permission, that was called an invasion. We used to fight wars over stuff like that, children. We used to go to war with other countries that violated our sovereignty. It's happened throughout world history. Just Google it. But now, all of a sudden, this concept of an invasion is frowned upon. Now, back in 2019, there was a big controversy over at Fox, and it really wasn't within Fox. It was outside of the building. You had a number of people that were using this term illegal alien invasion. Tucker Carlson used the word, Sean Hannity used the word, Laura Ingraham used the word, and Todd Starnes, yours truly, used the word. Now, there was an organization called the National Hispanic Journalism Association. They are a very powerful, very influential group. The head of that organization at the time was a senior producer at MSDNC, and they were enraged that people at Fox News, like myself, would use that terminology to describe what was happening. I also said that the illegal aliens were like a swarm of locusts devouring everything, every resource that it could get its hands on. Well, the National Hispanic Journalism Association got very upset, and they said, this is it. This is the line in the sand. They returned a donation Fox had made to the National Hispanic Journalism Association's scholarship fund. And they told them the reason why was because of yours truly, that I dared to utter those words on the radio. Now, look, here's the deal. At Fox News Channel, you know what the big moneymaker is? It's the television. The radio side of what Fox does, they don't make any money at all. Well, they may now, but I don't. But they don't make a lot of money. And they decided, well, somebody's got to be the fall guy here. Somebody's got to be expendable. And my contract was up. My contract was being negotiated as all of this started to happen. And so anyway, I got the heave-ho. They said, yeah, we're not going to renew your contract. We're done here. Your contract is over. We shook hands and said goodbye. And that's it. At Fox, I was working on three-year contracts. That's how they do it in the business. So anyway, that's the reason why. A lot of people thought it was for another story that we did on the radio show, but that was actually it. The fact that I used the term illegal alien invasion. What really bothered me about all of that is that Fox News actually cared about what somebody working at MSNBC thought. But then again, the HR guy at Fox News came from NBC. So I don't know. It's a new day over there. Whatever. That's their shop now. But I still contend that what's happening in Texas and along the border is, in fact, an invasion. And I want you to hear me out. I believe this is all intentional. Now, a lot of the illegals coming up now are from Haiti? That's where most of them are coming from. They're not even from south. They're not from south of the border, but they're from Haiti. But I believe this. There are two things going on here. These illegals are coming from places that are socialist hellholes, and they're bringing their values, they're bringing their upbringing, and their lifestyle and their culture into our nation, and they are not assimilating. We are in effect creating countries within countries. And we are getting very close to balkanizing this country, folks. So what are we going to do about it? Well, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick is very upset about this. He was on Laura Ingraham last night. And I want you to hear what the Lieutenant Governor of Texas has to say about all of this.
Well, here's what happened, Laura, is that we received a call for help from Border Patrol because they are being overrun. And so Governor Abbott, with my support and every other Republican support in the state, said, we're there to help you. And then we found out that Border Patrol did not have permission from Homeland Security or the president. And so they came out and said, no, we didn't say we needed any help. We didn't say that. So the Biden administration or someone in the administration flip-flop in the issue. Texas did not take a back step. They asked for help and we were going to help. Let me tell you something, Laura, and everyone watching. The revolution has begun, a silent revolution by the Democrat Party and Joe Biden to take over this country. Tomorrow is Constitution Day. And folks, if you haven't read it, you need to read Article 4, Section 4 very quickly. The United States shall guarantee to every state in this union and shall protect each of them against invasion and domestic violence and guarantee a Republican form of government. We need every state, every red state, because the blue ones won't do it, to send and invoke Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution to tell the president that we are being invaded. Now, invasion, properly defined by most, says it's an unauthorized, uninvited, unwelcomed incursion in your territory or property. This is not authorized by the state of Texas. It's not welcomed by the state of Texas or any other Republican state that I know, and they're not invited. And so every red state should invoke this clause now because every red state is being impacted and the blue states apparently don't care. Laura, when I say a revolution has begun, they are allowing this year probably 2 million, that's who we apprehend, and maybe another million into this country. At least in 18 years, even if they all don't become citizens before then and can vote, in 18 years, if every one of them has two or three children, you're talking about millions and millions and millions of new voters. And they will thank the Democrats and Biden for bringing them here. Who do you think they're going to vote for?
It's a great question the Lieutenant Governor raises. This is about invading our country and taking over the United States of America. Do you understand this? When you look at what's happening in look at what just happened in California, you're looking at a state that has been literally overrun by tens of millions of illegal aliens. Now, the government will tell you there are what, 10 million, 15 million illegal aliens. That number's got to be at least double, at least double. We know and it may even be greater than that. And because we know that since Joe Biden took office in just 8 months, 1.3 million illegal aliens have been apprehended at the border, and a good many of those were allowed to pass on through. So my question, ladies and gentlemen, is what do you recommend the state of Texas do here? How should the state of Texas protect its borders? 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
So I was trying to find a part for my Cadillac the other day, but instead of going down to the auto store, I went online to rockauto.com and I saved a ton of money. You know, chain stores have different price tiers for the professional mechanics and the do-it-yourselfers, but RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, just like the airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody, and it does not require membership or an account to log in. The best part about it, RockAuto.com is a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. So go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. And best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And here's what I also want you to do. Write Starnes, S-T-A-R-N-E-S, in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that I sent you to RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. Good to have you with us as we go through this crisis at the border on Constitution Day. And folks, I'm telling you, this is a very dangerous situation for the entire country. The entire country. All you need to do is look at the state of affairs in California right now, and you will understand what unfettered border crossings will do in this country. And I'm with the Lieutenant Governor. It is time to invoke Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution. The federal government has a duty to protect us, we the people, from invasion. And we are being invaded. By the way, we still don't have any idea who or what has been coming across that border. And we know for a fact, that thousands of very dangerous terrorists and radicals from Afghanistan escaped those prisons and could very well be making their way up through South America to do God knows what on American soil. So we've all got skin in this game. Every time a Greyhound bus or a Southwest Airlines flight filled with illegals ends up in your town, your community, you get to pay the price for that. And that's on you. Now, I know there are a lot of people out there in some of the woke circles who say that we have an obligation to take care of these folks. We do not, as a country, have a fiduciary responsibility to take care of anybody but American citizens. Now, it is good that we provide charity to the rest of the world, but that's not what we're called to do. We cannot do that. We cannot, and I know there are a bunch of woke Christians out there who say, no, we have to bring everybody in. We have to love everybody. No, we can't do that, because if we do, we are going to end up just like a third world country. We don't have enough resources. We can't even take care of our own citizens, much less another country's. But that's not the issue here. The issue is more than 10,000 illegal aliens have breached our border, and what are we going to do about it? What should we do about it? You better believe we've got to start thinking about this, and I encourage Governor Abbott to call out the National Guard, send them down there, and put armed guardsmen on the border. That's the only way. They've tried everything else. Everything else they have tried, and it has not worked. So you've got one of two things. You have two choices here. You can either put armed guardsmen along the border, or you can just remove the guardsmen and just let them have a free-for-all. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. My friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Mike created the Giza Dream Bed Sheets. They look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep for me, which is crucial for my busy schedule. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable. Mike's Giza sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. The first night you sleep on the Giza sheet, you will never want to sleep on anything else. Giza Dream Sheets come in a variety of sizes and colors. Mike's latest incredible deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you get 50% off the Giza Dream Sheets. You receive a set for as low as $49.99. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use the promo code STARS. You'll find not only this amazing offer, but also deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the MyPillow mattress topper, MyPillow towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-839-8506 or go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARS. All right, folks, welcome back. Todd Starnes here. Good to have you with us on this Constitution Day edition of the program. And I told you yesterday we were going to do a little bit of trivia, and we're going to have some fun here. So here's the deal. You're going to have to call in. You got to get two questions right. So you got to get the first question, and then we will offer you a second question if you get the first question correct here. We're making it a little bit more difficult for you folks because we know. Now, most of you are good. You folks in like Hendersonville, Gainesville, Georgia, y'all are good. We know you don't Google the answers, but there are some folks out there, some of the liberals, they like to Google before they call in. So we're going to test your trivia knowledge and your knowledge of the Constitution today. But first, we're going to test your knowledge of the Golden Girls. We want to know whose house did all the Golden Girls live in? Remember the Golden Girls back in the day? Whose house did they live in on that TV series, The Golden Girls? Give us a call, 844-747-8868, if you know the answer to that question. That's 844-747-8868. There is a very interesting survey out there. According to, this is from thehill.com, Rachel Scully is the writer. Nearly half of all American gun buyers are women. This is a significant shift because traditionally, folks who are in fact buying guns are in fact men. But according to the Wall Street Journal, they've got their hands on a national firearm survey from 2021. They found an estimated 3.5 million women in the United States became a gun owner between January of 2019 and April of 2021. In that same period, 4 million men became gun owners, but 3.5 million women. Past surveys found only 10 to 20% of gun owners were women. Researchers and gun store owners say the demographic changes in gun ownership may be driven by fears of the China virus pandemic. And also these protests, the Antifa and Black Lives Matter protests that are out there. And that's true. I mean, it is a very dangerous thing. I remember when Antifa and Black Lives Matter, they were going at it. And as a matter of fact, they were targeting homes in suburban areas, going up to your front door, banging on your front door. People were very upset about all of this. But I'm curious to know if there are any ladies in our audience. Maybe you have not had a gun, but you are a new gun owner. I'd be curious to know why you decided to go out there and get yourself a gun, why you decided to go out there and get your Second Amendment. I have to tell you, guys, I think that most conservative men believe it's a pretty awesome thing to have a woman in your life who, in fact, is a gun owner and knows how to use that gun. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Let's go to the phones. Moorhead City, North Carolina. TJ, listening to us on the talk station. Hi, TJ. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking. All right. So here's question number one, TJ. We want to know.
First of all, I'm going to tell you, I didn't Google it. but my wife watches the show every single day. I called her because she's on her way back from Virginia, and she said it's Blanche's house or something. Blanche.
Blanche Devereaux. Blanche Devereaux, yeah. Or Blanche's house. Yes, either one is acceptable. Yes, that is correct, TJ. Question number two.
Yes, we
need to know, and you will win the prize if you can answer this question. We need to know the name of the oldest person to sign the U.S. Constitution. Today, Constitution Day. Who was the oldest person to sign the U.S. Constitution?
I have no clue, sir. I have no clue.
What? Take a guess then.
It's bad. It's bad for me not to guess, but I don't know.
All right, we're going to give you a multiple choice here. We're going to give you a multiple choice, TJ.
I'm ready.
Was it George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, or Benjamin Franklin?
Franklin?
Guess what? It's a good thing you guessed, TJ, because you're absolutely right. It was, in fact, Benjamin Franklin. Ben Franklin was 81 years old at the time of the signing of the Constitution. And what's interesting, most everybody else was fairly young. So he was the old fogey of the group, the guy hollering, "Get off my lawn." That was Ben Franklin. Hey, congratulations, TJ. We're going to put you on hold, and we're going to get you hooked up with a prize package. We've got more questions coming your way, so hang tight, folks. I do want to go to Maine, though. Aaron, listening to us on WLOB, he has a solution for the border. All right, Aaron, what would you do here?
Hey, Todd, how you doing today? Great taking my call. I think we need to make the news media go to the border, and I think the best way to do that is to have the largest convoy that this country has ever seen. I think every truck driver that is in Texas, around Texas, should drive their truck and block every single road that has anything to do with the border. If they can't get out, then they can't come into our country.
I like that idea. Aaron, that's thinking outside of the box. And the fact of the matter is, even you folks in Maine, I know you're a long way from the southern border, but Aaron, what's happening down there is going to affect you guys just as much as it affects those of us who live in Tennessee.
Yes, sir.
Aaron, great idea. Thank you for the call. And folks, that's what this radio program is about. We've got a pretty smart audience. And you guys, Aaron says, let's get a convoy of truckers down there. I think that's a terrific idea. But you're the president of the United States. What would you do? How do you stop the flow of illegals across our border? But clearly, and I think Dan Patrick, the lieutenant governor, is onto something here. This is all about changing the fabric of America. This is about changing the culture of who we are in this country. All right, let's go to Mike in Chattanooga, Tennessee, listening to us on Nuga Radio, wants to weigh in on Constitution Day. Hey, Mike, what's up?
Boy, you hit my hot button, because I've interviewed politicians over the years, and not one of them has ever been able to talk about one thing out of the Constitution verbatim. They can't sign one thing. So I'd turn around and say, well, then we know you're a prevaricator. You took an oath to something you don't agree with.
Fair enough.
What's interesting is the United States existed prior to the Constitution, and the people gave, it says, we the people give the United States this Constitution, a document of restricted powers. That's why we don't have leaders. We have elected representatives. But what's interesting is, and this is one of the questions I would ask, you know, the states agreed to join the union with the idea they can always leave. And Article 1, Section 10 says what the states can't do. And nothing in Article 1, Section 10 says the states can't leave the union, because it can. But since we've been under occupation since the war to prevent Southern independence with Lincoln, they just spit on the Constitution. But I encourage everyone to read about Roger Sherman, who signed every governing document and was an incredible, incredible founder. His name is Roger Sherman.
Mike, we're going to be talking with our good friend David Barton a little bit later on in the show. And David is our go-to guy on all things about the Constitution and our founding documents. He's just a brilliant mind. And so we'll have to ask him about Roger Sherman when he comes on the program a little bit later. But, Mike, I know that you're incredibly outspoken about this, but I commend the Lieutenant Governor of Texas for calling out the Biden administration and also urging other states to invoke the Constitution and Article 4. Got to do it. Otherwise, this country is going to be taken over.
I was shocked that Trump didn't invoke it because we're entitled to a Republican form of government, which means representative government. If the sheriff existed prior to the Constitution, with no Constitution, we would still have the sheriff because he arises from the people. That's a Republican form of government, the sheriff being part of the judicial. But that's what that means, and Trump didn't send troops in, and I was shocked. But we have a right to do it ourselves. There's the Posse Comitatus Act. So if the government, I call them the occupiers, everyone from the dog catcher to the president, if the occupiers don't protect your individual liberty, you have the obligation to do it and the right to do it.
Well, and going all the way back to the early days of the founding of the country, the whole idea of the Second Amendment, you had an obligation as an American citizen to defend your home, your family, your property, and if you did not, then that's on you. This was a common held belief back in the early days of this country. There was no relying on anybody else. You had a personal responsibility. And
there's no doubt about it. I have an 18-year-old, two 18-year-olds, and a 16-year-old. They've been shooting since they're four. I'm upset that they can't carry until they're 21, which is ridiculous. They can join the military, fight, and come back and can't carry. But being from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and William Penn owned it the entire state, I want to throw something out at you, which our Second Amendment was based on, which is an incredible amendment. The Pennsylvania Constitution, Article 1, Section 21, the right of the citizens to bear arms in defense of themselves and the state shall not be questioned. Whoa. It's still in the Constitution in Pennsylvania.
Well, again, this goes back to the heart of what that Second Amendment is really all about. And it's not about going out there and hunting for critters. This is about protecting yourself, your family, and ultimately the country. And this is one of the reasons I believe, Mike, we have not been invaded until recent modern history is because our enemies understand, by and large, most of us are bearing arms.
Oh, they would never take the country. And when they use the term alien, all that means is you're an alien if you're not from the state. The states were like countries. So being originally from Pennsylvania, I'm an alien of Tennessee, unless I become a resident or a citizen of Tennessee. That's all that means. It's not a disparaging term. But as far as the Second Amendment, even without it, you have a right to bear arms because the Second Amendment was a prohibition against Congress to move upon the states. And through the Equal Protection Clause in the McDonald case, that now applies to every single state and every single local government entity through the 14th Amendment Equal Protection Clause. It is the Second Amendment. So states don't even need to have a right to bear arms in their Constitution because of Amendment 2 and the McDonald decision under the 14th Amendment.
Mike, going to have to leave it there. Always good hearing from you, sir. Great wealth of knowledge out there in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Folks, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Wesley in Georgia, Steve in Arkansas have a couple of lines open, folks. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
Head right to the phones, 844-747-8868. Let's go to Wesley in Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Hey, Wesley, what's on your mind?
Do what?
What's on your mind, Wesley?
Oh, I just had an idea of what to do with the immigrants that are crossing illegally.
Yeah, what? All right, what would you do?
Well, you know, they're loading them on planes anyways. You might as well just, instead of flying them somewhere in the United States, just fly them somewhere south of Mexico and tell them, welcome to Nevada.
Well, yeah, there you go, Wesley. Great idea. You know
I think by the time they figured it out, you'd be gone.
Fair enough. Just, you know, fly them in, drop them off, and leave them on the tarmac, and come right on back home. I like that idea, Wesley. Thanks for calling. All right, let's go to Steve in Arkansas. Hey, Steve, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. I think you're right. The key to stopping this is going to be with the states. We can't depend on the federal government to do it. But I don't see why it should be put on the state of Texas. I think every governor that they're hauling these, just like the previous caller said, they're hauling these people all over the country. Every governor that lets them come to his state becomes an accessory to this crime. Every mayor that lets them in their city, you become an accessory to this crime. And that's exactly what it is. It's a crime against our immigration laws and a crime against our Constitution.
Steve, the most important part of all of this, and we've been talking about this for about a year or so now, the most important part of this equation is the state governments. That's where you're going to be able to fight these things. And we've got a lot of people have been dismissive of those state senators, state legislators, but they are the ones that are going to be standing between us and the illegal alien invasion, among other things. So I think you're right. This fight, and I think the lieutenant governor of Texas is right, this fight is a fight not for Washington. It is a fight in individual state houses around the country.
I agree. And if the number of states they can take these people to get cut in half or lower, you're going to see a lot more rebellion against this, even from the blue states. If the blue states are having to take all of them, you're going to see them start to rebel.
And you see, that's exactly what needs to happen. The red state governors need to draw the line in the sand. Not a single illegal alien, not a single person coming into our states. Send them to the blue states and make them suffer. Because that's what's been happening, Steve. And if you want to know what's happened in Georgia, the reason there has been a massive shift in Georgia is because of the unfettered immigration that has happened in that state. It's just unbelievable. Steve, got to run. Let's go to North Carolina. Marsha, listening to us on WSIC, wants to talk about women and guns. Hey, Marsha, what's up?
Hi there. You had a little conversation earlier about the women and guns and purchases this year. I've actually owned guns for quite some time. However, only hunting, 20-gauge shotguns for hunting. But this year, yes, I did go and get 3 pistol permits this year. So because of just protection, just so I can, you know, freely go where I need to go and feel a little bit safer about being out in the public nowadays.
Is that right? So you went out and you've gotten yourself a couple of pistols. Any particular brand that you like?
Oh, I'd rather not say. Just a little something.
A little something. Marsha, I like that. I like the way you think. But, you know, the reality is we've got to protect ourselves, and it's a very dangerous, violent country we live in right now.
Yes. I mean, for many years, I was a single mom. So, but didn't, and where in the area that I am in, it wasn't as bad then. You didn't feel as unsafe.
Well, here in Memphis, Tennessee, we are one of the nation's deadliest cities. We've only got about 1.3 million people. Even last night, we'll talk about this a little bit later. But Marsha, first, God bless you, and thank you for being a pistol packing lady. And I like that you've got a little something something. That's pretty awesome. So God bless you, and thank you for listening. By the way, WSIC listeners, we're going to be coming to your city very soon. We're about to announce details of the big book signing. But real quick, back to Memphis. A deputy sheriff was shot, a police officer injured, as they were trying to arrest a bad guy. The bad guy's dead. And you know what's interesting? I was checking out all the media coverage. Not a single local media source said anything in the headlines about this evil guy trying to kill the police officers. Not a one. But again, it is a violent, violent place out there. Hang tight if you're on hold. We got to take a break for the news. We're coming right back. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy Constitution Day to you out there. By the way, an update for you. Breitbart News now reporting over 12,000 illegal aliens have now tried to breach the border in the past, 24, 48 hours. And Senator Marco Rubio just put out a statement saying those numbers are expected to increase dramatically. So we really do have a serious crisis at our southern border. And what is Joe Biden doing about this? What is Joe Biden doing to protect the sovereignty of the good people of the state of Texas? Well, for starters, he intervened and refused to allow the governor of Texas to shut down the border. And secondly, he directed the Federal Aviation Administration to implement a no-fly zone over the illegal aliens. So folks like Newsmax will not be allowed to send their drones up to get video footage of the massive, massive numbers of illegals that are crossing the border. Now, some of you might be millennials or Generation Zers, and you say, well, what's the big deal? We're America. We're a melting pot. Give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. What about that, Starnes? Well, the answer is very simple. We have something called legal immigration in this country. We have an orderly process for people to come to become American citizens. And why do we do that? We do that so there are not floods of refugees coming into our country, overwhelming our local cities and municipalities, and causing mayhem in our communities. So we do this orderly. There is a process to come to the United States of America. This is not that process. What we are seeing happen at the southern border is a manufactured crisis, manufactured by the Democrats who want complete and utter power in America, and by other countries who are seeking to destabilize our way of life. And whether or not they're actively colluding together, there is collusion. And as a result, we are looking at a destabilization effort in America. It may not take hold for another couple of years. It may be even longer. But we are starting to see the results of that. Generations of illegal immigration. And what do we have to show for it? Look at our public school system, where so many children are coming out hating America, accusing us of stealing other people's lands, hating this country, hating the Constitution. That's what this is ultimately all about. So anyway, instead of addressing all of this, Joe Biden is off to the beach. He's going on vacation, Rehoboth Beach. Turns out the Bidens own a nearly $3 million beachfront home, which is sort of interesting seeing how Joe Biden has been in public service all of his adult life. I don't know, maybe Hunter Biden shared some of that Parmesan cheese money with him. Could be. So anyway, I want to get back to the phones because there were a lot of folks wanting to weigh in on how we need to deal with this border crisis and how it's impacting your local communities. So let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Diane in Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Hey, Diane, what's going on?
Hi, Mr. Starnes. Thank you for taking my call. I think that, like you said, this is an invasion, and I think this is on purpose. And I really think that between now and next November's election of 22, that we are going to see federal troops escorting illegals to polling places and ordering poll workers to allow them to vote. And with what's happening in Texas, I have a feeling that the state National Guards and militia groups are going to have to, they're going to start civil disobedience, you might call it.
Well, but Diane, I see where you're going with this, but there's really no need to do that unless your state governments and your state National Guards are not being utilized. I mean, if you're in a blue state, and I know you're in a red state, if your governor decides to, he could call up the National Guard to protect or the State Guard, rather, to protect your borders. That could happen. Now, if they don't, then I think all bets are off. But I think there is a concern, Diane, that you could have roaming militias out there taking the law into their own hands.
Well, I think voting time is going to be when we're going to see either martial law or we're going to see federal troops brought into it somehow.
That could be. The Democrats know that Joe Biden is a doomed candidate. He is. There's not going to be a second term, and probably not going to finish out the first term. The bigger concern I have is 2022. Republicans have a very, very solid chance of retaking the House and the Senate in spite of themselves. And Diane, I would not be surprised if there is some sort of an incident that would lead to what you just said.
Yeah, because we're not hearing a whole lot from Stacey Abrams right now. I think they're marshaling their forces for voting time. With all the states starting to pass these voting integrity laws, the only way they could bypass that would be violence and martial law.
I think you are correct there. And so, again, we've got to do our due diligence. And you got to give credit to Stacey Abrams, though, Diane. I mean, she mobilized voters. She got her folks out there, and it was a pretty impressive thing she did. But Republicans have to do better. That's what that's all about. Republicans got to do better. Great. All right, Diane, thank you for the call. Thanks for listening. And by the way, we hope we see all of our North Georgia listeners next week at our Faith and Freedom Celebration. Truett McConnell University, a chance for you to meet Sarah Huckabee Sanders. She's going to be delivering a keynote address. We'll be doing a Q&A with her afterwards. It's going to be a fun, fun night at Truett McConnell University. Just go to their website, truett.edu, if you'd like to get information on that. And I'll be there. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we look forward to seeing you. Let's go to North Carolina, Charles on WSIC. Charles, what's going on?
Hey, Todd, thanks for having me on. Let me come on. Got a suggestion. Since Texas is being invaded, and not just Texas but the whole country, and the Biden administration is refusing to defend the state of Texas like it's supposed to in Article 4 of the Constitution, what would be wrong with Governor Abbott calling for, say, 100,000 volunteers to show up? You deputize these people to repel an invasion. If they're coming into the state of Texas, you apprehend them, maybe put them on planes from the Texas Air National Guard and transport planes and transport them to these blue states like Delaware, where Joe Biden is right now, and other states. But something's got to be done.
Charles, it does. I mean, we cannot sustain this. We just simply cannot. And I feel horrible for those folks in Texas, because their towns have literally been overrun. But beyond that, this pandemic, and it's interesting to note here, Charles, the Democrats are conveniently forgetting about the fact we are in the middle of a pandemic that they say is going to kill all of us. Meanwhile, they're allowing tens of thousands of illegals infected with the China virus into our country.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So And the fact that they're doing nothing about that, not requiring vaccinations or vetting these people, is just just proves that this is about politics. It's not about public health, and it's like you said, it's about remaking America. But do you think that the governor would be within his legal authority to request tens of thousands of people to temporarily volunteer for service to repel this invasion, secure the border, and deport people that are already in the state? Do you think that he has the authority to do that?
I do believe the governor has the authority to do that, and he can deputize folks. The Texas Rangers could deputize folks. And it very well may take something like that to repel this invasion. You're looking at, 10,000, 12,000 people? Rubio says even more. It's going to take all hands on deck. So I believe the governor of Texas is going to do everything within his power. And if that means calling up volunteers, I think he very well may do that. Hey, Charles, it's a great point you raised. Thank you for listening to us today. And thanks for supporting WSIC. We love all of our great listeners there. Folks, now more than ever, it is so important to support companies, organizations that share our values. Patriot Mobile It's America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. They not only share our beliefs, they're doing something about it. Patriot Mobile donates a portion of every dollar to organizations that fight for causes we care about. I made the switch, and I hope you do, too. Patriot Mobile, use the promo code Todd, and they're going to give you free activation and a free gift. By the way, Patriot Mobile, if you are a veteran or first responder, they're going to give you even more discounts. It's so easy. All you have to do, go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd, or call their U.S.-based customer service team, 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. All right, got to take a break here, folks. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
All right, time now for a little bit more trivia, by the way. We're throwing out some trivia questions. You got to get two right to win a prize today. Here is your first question. We're talking about the old TV show Leave It to Beaver. What was the Beeve's real name? What was Beaver's real name? If you know the answer, give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. We'll get to your calls in just a moment. An update on a story we told you about just a few days ago from Washington University in St. Louis. That's Jamie Allman country. Washington University, a Muslim student leader, desecrated a 9/11 memorial event and project there on campus. And the guy defended his actions, and now he's getting the support of nearly 50 Washington University professors. They are signing a statement defending the vandalism and the desecration, saying that the American flag is a symbol of American imperialism. Well, to help us sort through all of this is our good friend from Young America's Foundation, Kara Zupkus. Kara, good to have you back with us today.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So what's going on here at Washington University? First of all, I was impressed the university condemned this, the kids' actions. But now the faculty is defending this guy.
Exactly. And while we were glad to see that the school came out and did condemn the actions, we were a little disappointed to see that it seems like they're just kind of sitting on their hands and not really pushing for any punishment against this student. But yes, we did get word this week that 50 WashU professors are defending this student, saying that the U.S. flag is a symbol of imperialism and violence, and that the student is being attacked with Islamophobic rhetoric, and that what he did was okay, and that he shouldn't face repercussions for his actions.
You know, I'm going through the list of professors, and you guys do a great job at YAF.org of actually naming the professors who signed this. Some of the classes, these people are actually paid with, and again, this is a private university, I believe, so somebody's footing the bill for this nonsense. You've got the two associate professors of women, gender, and sexuality. You've got a poetry professor, a Japanese language professor among those that are signing on to this letter, this statement defending this Muslim kid.
Exactly. It's kind of those departments that we often see here at YAF as being complete waste of money. Students that major in those women and gender studies, feminist theory, they don't end up actually having jobs after graduation. So it seems like these professors are just desperate to get their name out there in the conversation. And of course, we hope that the school does not listen to these insane professors and realizes that everyone, no matter what side of the political spectrum you're on, can kind of come behind this and agree, okay, it's wrong to desecrate a memorial dedicated to remembering the victims of 9/11.
Now, you guys have another story that you've been following out of Texas Tech. What are they doing to the students over there?
Yeah, so we filed a FOIA back in May when we were tipped off by a concerned student about some anti-racism training, you know, that buzzword that we hear so often at these schools. And we actually got the FOIA documents back this week. There were hundreds of documents that we sifted through, including video footage. And what we found is that Texas Tech actually segregated students into two groups, BIPOC and white students, to discuss how they are affected by white supremacy and racism. So these students were literally segregated by the color of their skin, and the school is actually defending the trainings when we contacted them. They are saying, oh, it offers them a comfortable place to talk about their racial trauma, which is super concerning considering this is a public university being funded by taxpayer dollars, and this is literal segregation.
In Texas, of all places, Texas Tech. Unbelievable.
Exactly. And we have been reaching out to all of our contacts in Texas, the governor's office, the attorney general, congressman, to make sure that this is on their radar, because not only were they segregating them by the color of their skin, but also in this training, the administrators at Texas Tech accused law enforcement of being an example of white supremacy, which is just a complete slap in the face to everyone that puts their lives on the line every single day.
You know, it's really fascinating. Campus Reform has a piece up on this Constitution Day showing students signing a petition to abolish the Constitution. You've got the student government president at the University of Kansas, along with the entire Kansas Student Senate, sharing a message and defending a message that said death to America. Kara, what is going on these university campuses?
I mean, these professors really just have free rein on these campuses and in the classroom. There's no oversight whatsoever, and it's really up to concerned parents and concerned students to come public forward with all of this information so that we can put it out in the light. People can see what's going on behind closed doors and in those Zoom meetings. That's really the only way that this is going to get solved, because there's just so much going on that people really can't even begin to understand how bad it is.
Yeah, and look, I'm with you on this, and I'm really excited that you guys have created this hotline, this campus bias hotline. Real quick, tell our listeners what that is and where they can access that information.
Yeah, if they go to yaf.org/tips, that's yaf.org/tips, they can report any kind of campus bias, whether it's middle school, preschool, high school, college. We're here to help serve as a resource for you guys to get your stories out there, even potentially with legal action, if that's what it takes, to make sure that these administrators and teachers are being held to account. We've exposed hundreds of stories, and we're going to continue to do so to make sure that America's youth has a chance for the future to actually be educated with true American principles.
Good stuff. Well, look, I think you guys are doing a terrific job there at YAF, Young America's Foundation, fighting the good fight, but also standing alongside college kids out there facing just unbelievable circumstances, and not just conservative kids now, but white kids that are coming under attack as well.
Exactly. We're just here to make sure that they all have a voice, no matter what side of the spectrum they're on, that everyone is being treated equally and has a chance for their free speech rights to be stood up for. That's all we're looking to do here.
Well said. All right, Kara, we're going to leave it there. Thank you again. Kara Zupkus, folks, from Young America's Foundation, YAF.org, YAF.org, if you would like more information on the great work they are doing. All right, we've got to take a break here, and when we return, we'll go to your calls. We're going to throw out a trivia question again. What was the Beaver's real name on Leave It to Beaver? The Beaver's real name on Leave It to Beaver. Give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Hang tight if you're on the line for trivia. We're going to get to your calls in just a minute, but we do need to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend, she is the proprietor of SarahAcarter.com, one of the best news websites in all of America, and she is on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now, Sarah Carter. Hey, Sarah, how's it going?
It's going great, Todd. It's so nice to hear your voice.
Sarah, I'm very disappointed. Before we get to the what we're going to talk about here, I understand you are on your way to the border from Nashville. Why are you not in the coolest part of Tennessee, which would be Memphis?
Well, you know how much I love Memphis, but if I go down to Memphis, you're going to take me out to barbecue again, and I'm just going to eat myself into a sleep.
Actually, I would
way,
do that.
I got to tell you, Memphis barbecue, it's still, I've just been randomly stopping at places with my family, but I'm still thinking that the one I ate with you was the best.
Well, we've got it. There you go.
Better place in Nashville right now.
There you go. Well, Sarah, we love having you in Memphis. And of course, our audience loves you and the great work you're doing. On to the more pressing issue, which is this full on invasion that's happening at our southern border. This is unbelievable.
It's actually incredible. I mean, when you think about more, and I've been to these areas in Del Rio. I've interviewed the mayor there. I understand his stress that he is having there. I think Bruno's a phenomenal mayor, and he's been speaking out about it. He ran as a Democrat. He just cannot believe that this is happening. You have over 9,500 migrants living under a bridge in squalid conditions, but this is the responsibility, and this all falls, this crisis, on the Biden administration. I mean, President Biden and his administration just basically revoked everything, every executive order put in place by President Trump. They said the border was wide open. They basically told the world, come on in. We're not going to stop you. What did they think was going to happen? Look, I actually believe this was done on purpose. There's no way that the Biden administration, especially President Biden, when he was vice president under President Obama, and they had the crisis with DACA, and we had all of those underage unaccompanied minors coming across the border, that they would not know that this would happen. And so then you have to ask yourself, why? Why did they do this? Why is this being allowed to happen? I don't think they expected the large numbers of other than, you know, Central Americans. I mean, we're seeing people from Haiti. We're seeing people from Africa. We've seen people from over 75 countries, in some cases of the border, some areas over 90 different countries coming through. So this is a very serious crisis. It's a serious humanitarian crisis, one that was created by President Biden and his administration. And it's a serious national security crisis. Just as the Afghanistan crisis emerged, created by President Biden, he is also creating this. And who's going to pay for it? The American people.
I mean, Sarah, again, we have no idea of the exact numbers of illegals living in the country. I would say 30, 40 million. It may be higher than that. I mean, when you look at what the first 8 months of the Biden administration, 1.2, 1.3 million illegals apprehended at the border. And I think this is meant to destabilize the country and give the Democrats yet another option at a forever power grab as we move closer and closer to socialism.
I do, too. I think it certainly could be taken advantage of by our enemies. And when you see a crisis like this growing and the failure of your own government, look, the only job that President Biden has to do as commander-in-chief is the national security of our nation. That is his major job. He needs to stay out of our business. They need to stay out of our taxing us. They need to stop all this federal growth and this bureaucratic mess that they've got in Washington, because obviously we can see that the bureaucracy does not work. I think the American people can make their own decisions for themselves. But what we have seen as far as his ability to protect our nation is an abysmal failure. And in fact, it's not even just a failure, it's malfeasance on his part. He abandoned Americans in Afghanistan. I've, you know, spent the last 4 to 5 weeks dealing with that. I'm continuing to deal with that. We've talked to people on the phone. In fact, there's a couple that we're actually actively looking for now, me and some others in Congress. One is an American citizen with his wife in Afghanistan. We have no idea what happened with them. They never made it out. There's, you know, problems all across the globe based on these failures of this administration. And now we look at our border and it's unrecognizable. I mean, Todd, I was on the phone with Border Patrol agents, with people in Texas right now that are saying, like, are you coming back? Because you won't even imagine what's happening here. It's like a different country.
we can't even control this. And when you talked about 30 million, I agree with you. I remember when I first started covering the border in 2006, maybe, well, 2003, 2004, when I was at the border, and there was a belief that there were 20 million people already in the country, not the 10 to 11 million number that they keep throwing out there. So it would not surprise me how many gotaways are in the country, how many people have entered the country that should not be here whatsoever. And I'm not talking about just the innocent people looking for a better life. I'm talking about bad guys that are intent on doing something really terrible to our nation. So
Is
very frightening. I plan on being at the border very soon. And I mean, if you're looking at it right now, believe me, there are people going to come from all over the world, Syria, Afghanistan, the Middle East. Those that could not make it out are planning on finding their way in. And if personally, if I was an intelligence officer and I was working on what do I need to be looking at outside of the box, what could be a potential threat for the United States of America, it would be that border, because there is no doubt that sleeper cells have come in through that border or are potentially thinking about it. And that's a big, big concern of mine.
Sarah Carter on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Sarah, the Lieutenant Governor, Dan Patrick on Laura Ingraham's show last night on Fox. And he says it's time for red state governors to invoke the Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution, saying that we are being invaded and we must be able to protect the sovereignty of our borders if the federal government will not do that.
Well, I got to tell you, I mean, something has to be done. This is the issue that we're dealing with, because, you know, I've spent a lot of time down at the border. So you have this this growing surge of unaccompanied minors mixed in with bad guys, mixed in with people from all over the country, all over the world, and not just from Mexico, Central America, Haiti. Right now, we're seeing so many Haitians coming in. We see people coming in from Africa, people crossing in from Colombia, people from the Middle East that made their way into Brazil and have then hooked up with drug cartels and human traffickers, pushing them this way into the United States. So what do you do? How do you handle this? How do you send people back home when they don't even have identifiers on them? Because what most people don't understand is that people actually get rid of their IDs on their way here. So we'll contact their consulates. If, well, let's say we believe they're from Haiti, we contact their consulate. We say to them, listen, you know what? We've got a guy here. We believe he's Haitian. And they're like, well, show us his ID. We don't have any ID. So now there's a whole process that has to go into place to be able to send that person home. It is not that simple. What Biden has done is literally a crime against the American people. And not only a crime against the American people, but a crime against children that are being trafficked into this country and others, and the drugs that are being trafficked into this country. Because not only are our enemies taking advantage of this, but so are the drug cartels and the human traffickers. Todd, we are in a really terrible situation. I believe the lieutenant governor is right, but there has to be a real plan in place.
Agreed.
It can't just be talk.
Sarah, we're going to have to leave it there. Safe travels down to the border, and I know we'll be watching your exclusive reports there on Fox. So we will leave it there. SarahAcarter.com is the website. Sarah, thanks.
Thanks so much, Todd.
All right, Sarah Carter, and painting a very dire picture of what's happening down there. Now, to give you an example, over 208,000 illegals came across the border in August. But just in the past 48 hours, now they're saying those numbers are about 14,000 or 15,000 that have just crossed in the past, 24, 48 hours. You folks listening to us in Bartlesville, Oklahoma on K1, KWON. You guys live in a city that's got about, 36, 37, 38,000 people. So half of your city just invaded the United States of America. That's how big of a deal this is. We're talking about massive population swings coming across that border. And that is going to have a major impact on what's happening in this country. And Grace Baker, I think the most important part of what Sarah Carter shared with us is that Memphis Barbecue is, in fact, the greatest in all of America.
Yeah, that is the breaking news of the day for sure.
As if there was any doubt.
Yeah, it's true. But, hey, some people try to diss us and leave us off their list. Well, you heard it from the source, Sarah Carter.
Sarah Carter
is the best.
The top investigative journalist in America,
exactly.
By the way. And I took her to Central Barbecue.
I love Central.
In Memphis. And we sat down and I got her. I didn't even have to tell her. I said, whatever you want to order, you order. She went. And Sarah, you've seen her on TV. She's very physically fit, very active.
Very petite.
Very petite. She said, I want the three meat combo. She got the ribs.
Atta girl.
She got pulled pork and she got barbecue bologna on my recommendation.
See, my favorite's the barbecue nachos, but you get, instead of chips, fries.
Oh, well, there you go.
Very good.
And you got to get the sausage sampler for the appetizer.
Oof.
With the little toothpicks and the cheese.
You're making me hungry.
They didn't serve that kind of stuff at the Met. I'll tell you that
much. I'm sure they didn't.
No, that was good eating. But we had a lot of fun. She's a great, great friend of this program. All right, real quick, let's go to the phone lines. We've got folks wanting to play trivia, and we're going to scoot through this, so you got to be ready. Let's go to Scott Conway, Arkansas. We want to know, what was the Beeves' name on Leave It to Beaver? Scott, what was the name?
Hey, Todd, Jerry Mathers.
Oh, Scott, that is incorrect. Oh, sorry. Let's go to Tom, Gainesville, Georgia. All right, Tom, what was Leave It to Beaver's name on Leave It to Beaver?
I thought it was Jerry Mathers.
No, Tom, that is incorrect. Wow, Grace, this is a tough one. Let's go to James in Memphis, Tennessee. All right, James.
Hey, how you doing?
James, doing good.
It's Theodore.
Yes, you are correct, James. And by the way, his real name, the actor's name, was Jerry Mathers.
Jerry Mathers.
But on the program, Beaver's name was Theodore Cleaver, and you are correct, James. Now we got to give.
Hey, I want to tell you.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to tell you real quick. I just want to tell you a little trivia about Beaver, Leave It to Beaver. You might already know this, but you know, the very first episode, the boys found a turtle, and they tried to hide it from their mom, and they kept it in the bathtub up in his bedroom. But the censors at that time said they couldn't show a bathroom, a tub, or a toilet. So they had to rewrite the whole entire script and made them have to keep it in a box in their bedroom.
Is that right? That is a great bit of trivia.
Yes. I read it one time in an article about Leave It to Beaver's little stuff about them. That's pretty crazy. But, you know, the censors back in those times couldn't even show a toilet or a bathtub.
Well, remember, James, they were not allowed to use the word pregnant on
right.
I Love Lucy. And, of course, the husbands and wives always slept in separate beds.
Right.
So,
yeah. Of course, well, everybody knows about I Dream of Jeannie. You know, they couldn't show her navel.
They couldn't
show
that. That's true. I forgot about that. That's
yeah, it's pretty crazy back in those times how the censors were.
Yeah, and look at where we are now, where anything goes. All right, James.
I want to get a rally going against Chick-fil-A, and I want you to forward it for me and start it. Okay.
A rally
against Chick-fil-A.
Against.
I'm just joking with you. I know you love your Chick-fil-A.
Come on, James. Look, we got to fight against enough stuff. You got to give me my chicken.
I'm just teasing because I know you love Chick-fil-A, so I'm just teasing you.
All right, James. You know what? We are up against a hard break here, so we're going to go ahead and get James. We're going to get him the prize, Grace. So, James, did James hang up? James, you hung up. Call back so we can hook you up with your prize package. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number, ladies and gentlemen. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. I like trivia days. It's kind of, you know, you kind of lollygag through the show. I mean, we're a fast-moving show, Grace Baker, but, you know, it's Friday, big football weekend coming up, and you just want to meander through
and
the show.
And the sun just came out outside the studio here.
The sun is shining
sun
in
is
Memphis,
shining.
Tennessee. It's a good day. And nobody's been shot so far. Well, I take that back. Yeah, a couple of hours ago there was another shooting.
I'll just say, Todd, so. I got the reports.
You know, if what we need is a Kevlar vest sponsor for the program.
Gosh.
That's all I'm saying.
Sad.
It is. Hey, let's go to the phones. Keith, North Carolina, on the talk station. Hi, Keith. What's your advice for folks at the border?
Well, actually, I want to give you three kudos before I tell you this.
Three kudos.
first goes to Grace. The second goes to whoever it is that sells your marketing, that does your marketing. That's almost more entertaining than you are.
What?
And third, and you're last in the line. But I changed the whole subject sitting there listening to you guys talk. I live here in North Carolina. I'm about to eat a rib right now. You know, Memphis ribs are a heck of a lot better than these in North Carolina. They just are.
It's true, Keith. I mean, I love your state, and I'm a big fan of Biscuitville, which is a great chain over there. I'll give you credit, and also Bojangles. But when it comes to ribs, you know, that's what we do. That's what we do.
I had a place called Bones and Crumbs. It's called Bones and Crumbs because that was all that was left.
I love it.
But the thing is there, we used to be able to have a sign in your yard that trespassers would be shot on sight. And as difficult as this might be to handle for the liberals, maybe we should stick that sign back up.
Well, that's not necessarily – you are right. There are many homes around America, and they have those signs up there. No reason why we shouldn't put them along our border. I mean, you've got to do something, Keith. We just can't sustain this. At some point, the money runs out.
Yeah, please allow me to interrupt this thing. I spent the night on the pier, and we were having Harrier ops. You know what a Harrier is. I was TAD to Millington for a little while. I'm a Marine. And I'm under a flight path. The Harriers they fly over. The helicopters fly over. The Ospreys fly over. My daughter was in the Marines. My son-in-law was in the Marines. I was a Marine, and we are not happy.
I think there are many people like you, Keith, around the country who are not happy. I'm glad to hear the Lieutenant Governor of Texas. Starting to use terms like, the U.S. Constitution. And
Article 4.
Article 4, Section 4. We've got to start invoking our rights.
Yes. You're absolutely right. You keep up the good work. I mean, people, they might listen to a lot of other stations, but yours is one of the best. You keep it up.
Hey, you're kind to say that, Keith, and we've got a skedaddle here. So God bless you, sir, and thank you for serving. And Keith mentioned that his daughter, and I believe he said his son as well, serving in the Marines. What a great family. And there are lots of other patriots that feel the same way. We've got it, folks. We're coming to a point where we're going to have to stand up and we're going to have to demand our state legislators protect us and our people and our property. We're going to have to do it. Hey, hang tight. We've got Dave. He's got a song for us. Also, Robert in Boston's got an interesting thought. We're going to get to all of those next on the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
Coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah.
So a high school teacher in Los Angeles decorated his classroom with anti-cop and anti-American messages. Welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Show, everybody. Hour 3. The final broadcast hour of the final show of the final broadcast day of the week. We are so glad to have you with us today. This teacher at Alexander Hamilton High School and a parent noticed that there was some really freaky stuff going on inside the classroom. Had the transgender flag, Palestinian flag, gay pride flag, Black Lives Matter banner, and all these posters. And the posters included words that Grace Baker, I am not allowed to utter on the radio.
Oof, that bad.
It's that bad. Yes.
You need to wash their mouth with soap.
It was a four-letter word that involves fornicating with one's mother.
I think I know what it is.
So the very profane messages, one of the messages told people to blank America, but America was spelled with the letters KKK. There was also a profane message for police, all in the teacher's classroom. So it was so horrific that even the Los Angeles Unified School District says, some of that stuff's got to go. And they say that the posters are being removed, but the Palestinian flag, transgender flag, gay pride flag, and BLM banner, those get to stay. Now, here's what I recommend. Not only should they eradicate all of the anti-America propaganda from the classroom, they should also get rid of the teacher as well. Heave ho, pal. Get the heave ho. But that's just my thought there. Hey, look, 844-747-8868. We have been, Robert from Boston has been listening to us on the live stream for a while. And Robert, I believe, has a question for us. Welcome to the program, Robert.
Hey, Todd, can you hear me okay?
Yes, loud and clear, Robert.
Perfect. I have something to tell you about. It's a 7-point constitutional cure for election racketeering that can put Trump into the White House in days, not years. The idea came to me from Newt Gingrich in November. I think he was being kind of like a message in a bottle or a Hail Mary when he said, you don't have to be a speaker to become the Speaker of the House. And so that put, you know, the wheels in motion.
You mean Congress. You don't have to be a member of Congress.
You don't have to be a member of Congress. Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry. You don't have to be a member of Congress. Anyone, you, me, Donald Trump, to be elected Speaker and therefore put into the queue. And I put this into a 7-point constitutional cure. It's actually called the Trump card. And the way it worked is once we destabilized Nancy Pelosi, and believe me, I didn't make the card just with a hope that I would find the Achilles heel. I spent the weeks since CPAC, which was early July, making a couple of videos which prove she's checkmated. And once I tell you about that, you're going to realize she's only teeter-tottering by a tiny majority anyway. Once she loses basically the Black Caucus, you're not going to believe her connections to Jonestown and so forth.
Okay, well, Robert, I'm trying to follow where you're going here, but the fact of the matter is there is no legal way to reverse the election result. There's no way at this point. Once the Electoral College votes are certified, that's it. So there is no way.
Can I interrupt? No, actually, see, the point of we have a parliamentary system in the House. Once Nancy is destabilized, which is our job, then Kevin McCarthy will say, gee, Nancy's having a hard time holding her coalition together. She was ahead by a tiny majority. It's a parliamentary system. Kevin's going to say, I'm going to run for Speaker. Once he's in, and that's going to be easy, I can promise you.
What, you think the Congressional Black Caucus is going to abandon Pelosi and support McCarthy?
Well, you see, I've done research into Jonestown, where Jim Jones, who is San Francisco-based, Nancy Pelosi, and Willie Brown helped to create Jim Jones. And by the way, out of the 918 murdered, only 10% drank the so-called Kool-Aid.
Okay. All right. Well, Robert, look, I appreciate what you're saying here. We're not going to go through your point by point, your mantra here or your investigative work. But the reality is that's not going to happen, Robert. And I think you need to understand that the only recourse we have is coming up next year. And that's when you can fix this. But we're not going to be able to go back in history and fix all of this.
No, I'm sorry to say it's too late, but see if we can break.
What do you mean it's too late? You just told. Wait. You just said it's too late, Robert, but you're wanting to go back in time. So
I'm wanting to go now. I want to give action. See, what I've done on my website, patriotstore.com, I can let people make up their own mind.
All right. I got it. And we've given you a lot of time here. We've given you your website. So if folks want to go check it out, they can. But in my estimation, Robert, thanks for the call, but if you really want, folks, if you want to be able to fix something and do something, we've got that opportunity in 2022. In the meantime, it is incumbent upon every Republican state legislature to fix the voting problems in your respective states. And if you don't do that, then what can I say? We've got work to do on the state level. Got to. All right, let's get to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Pastor John, Ohio. Pastor, what is on your mind today?
Well, first of all, I love our daily biscuit. Okay, I got to tell you that. Love it. Make another mind. I got an idea because you talked about handling it at local levels as far as like the governors and the legislatures to defend our borders. But you realize that if these federal law enforcement people try to drop off these illegals, these migrants, county sheriffs can arrest these federal officials if they're breaking state law, which I believe they are. And then in order to help assist it, you already talked about it, they're sending police and National Guard units to help these different governors defend their borders. Well, you realize you guys have a real good resource down there in Tennessee that you have something called the Tennessee State Defense Forces. Those serve at the pleasure of the governor. You guys should use your resources, and they can assist and augment the National Guard to defend your borders as well. I just wanted to present that idea to you because it'd be kind of cool if you got yourself a county sheriff there, then you can't do that, and the federal official says, yes, I can. Well, fine, we'll just throw your butt in jail until we get this settled in the courts. Just a thought, Todd. God bless you, brother.
Well, no, thank you, Pastor. And you raise a really good point because you can, from a county sheriff perspective, they do have the power to arrest federal agents. And let's hope it doesn't come to that. But if it comes to that, those county sheriffs will have to stand up and they will have to defend the oath they swore to protect and serve against enemies, foreign and domestic. It is that dire of a situation in Texas, folks. If you could just imagine, and I don't want to go back and use poor Bartlesville again, but you folks in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, could you imagine if one day you woke up and all of a sudden, instead of 36,000 people living in your city limits, you had 70,000 people, and the 30,000 plus that are now living among you do not have jobs, do not have housing, and they're living in tents on the football field at the local high schools? Because that's what's happening down in Texas right now. And it is not a pretty picture. All right, look, we've got to take a break here. We are throwing out more trivia for the day. Oh, we have some Andy Griffith Show trivia, and this is a good one. In the Andy Griffith Show, Barney had one steady girl for a while. What was her name? What was Barney Fife's, the name of Barney Fife's girlfriend? If you know the answer, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, our website is just filled with some great stories today. Encourage you to go and check that out. Bookmark our website and also download our free newsletter. It comes out every single day right after this show, and it is great, great information for you and for your families. A free download at toddstearns.com. Got to take a break. We'll be right back.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Stearns.
Well, there's the headline out of Mediaite. You never would have seen this headline when Roger Ailes ran Fox News. Fox News's Peter Doocy praises Jen Psaki in glowing New York Times profile. Quote, it never feels like I'm getting smacked down. So there you go. Jeez, Aloom. All right. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. I watch Newsmax, by the way. And you should, too. Let's go to the phones here. Let's start with Dan in North Carolina. Wants to try his hand at our trivia, our Constitution Day trivia segment. Dan, how are you today, sir?
Just fine.
Wonderful. All right. Well, here's the question. The Andy Griffith Show, Barney had one steady girlfriend. What was her name?
Thelma Lou.
Yeah, you are absolutely correct. Thelma Lou was, in fact, as a matter of fact, years later, there was a movie made about Mayberry, and they had actually gotten married. I believe that was the part of the shtick there. So, Andy and Helen, and then Thelma Lou and Barney Fife. Congratulations. Now we got to win you a prize. So here's your next question.
There you go.
Next question, Dan, deals with the United States Constitution. True or false? Benjamin Franklin wanted America to have a king and not a president. True or false?
False.
Yeah, again, you are absolutely correct. There had been a lot of debate over that as far as what kind of a leader America should have. And Benjamin Franklin said we needed a president. You are absolutely correct. And congratulations, Dan. We're going to put you on hold, and we're going to hook you up with a prize package. Congratulations. All right, let's go to Gainesville, Georgia. Dave on the line. Dave, I understand you have a lovely song for us today. Is that correct?
Well, you know, Todd, I'm just Dave the Dirtbag from Nowhere, so this is my best attempt.
Dave the Dirtbag from Nowhere?
Yeah.
All right, all right.
So, you know, when you and I were young, Todd, there was a thing on called the Mickey Mouse Club. And, you know, in honor of a tribute, in quotes, to the woke Disney company, here's my attempt. Who's the leader of the club that's made for you and me? D-O-N-A-L-D-T-R-U-M-P, Donald Trump.
Oh,
Donald Trump.
Oh, wow.
Forever let us hold our colors high,
fighting's
high,
not
high.
Easy.
It's time for all to stand up tall and fight for liberty. D-O-N-A-L-D-T-R-U-M-P.
Dave, very well done. How long did it take you to come up with that little ditty?
I don't know. There's this faucet going on in my head, Todd. I've got another half dozen that I'm working on.
Oh, well, Dave, I think you were right on the money. You were not pitchy at all. If I was an American Idol judge, I would have given you the ticket to Hollywood.
Well, maybe not Simon.
well done, Dave. I love it. I want you to give us a call back when you get the next song ready. Will you do that for us?
Not a problem.
All right, Dave, good stuff. Dave from Gainesville, Georgia, WDUN. I got to tell Bill Main about that. Bill Main runs the great station there, and I didn't know they had such a musical group there. Well done. Hey, there's an interesting story out of CNN. I don't know if you've heard about this. A lot of people now are starting to use the obituaries of their loved ones to either settle scores or make some political points. And I'm curious to know how you guys feel about that. Is that kosher to use your loved one's obit to settle family feuds or to make a political point? So this is the story of the Ayers family. Candace and Terry Ayers got their second China virus vaccine in early March. And Mrs. Ayers took a trip with her husband to Mississippi. And this is all laid out in the obituary. So I want to read this to you because Mrs. Ayers, age 66, of Springfield, Illinois, died. And this is the obit that her family wrote. And here we go. She was preceded in death by more than 4.5 million other people infected with COVID-19. She was vaccinated but was infected by others who chose not to be. The cost was her life. The tally represents, and the obit goes on to basically blame all of you unvaccinated people for the death of Mrs. Ayers, along with the entire state of Mississippi. Only 42% of Mississippi's population was fully vaccinated by mid-September, according to the state's health department. Now, it seems to me that I've got to go on here. There's more to it. My mother had severe rheumatoid arthritis. We were always the most concerned about her getting it because she was the most immunocompromised. We were wrestling with whether they should have even traveled. But things were looking so good, and with them being fully vaccinated, we didn't have any thoughts about them going to Mississippi. Well, can we just back up for just a minute here and point out the obvious glaring issue here from the obituary? The fact that apparently the mother was vaccinated and not only got the China virus, but died of the China virus. What does that say about the vaccination? What does that say about the vaccine? But more importantly, I'm curious, what does it say about her children who would use this woman's obituary, the funeral notice to take cheap shots at all of you folks that have been unvaccinated. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Let's go to Gainesville, Georgia. Steve on WDUN. Steve, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Todd. I have like to get your opinion on a lot of these Republicans get on TV over and over, and they complain about what the liberals are doing, but very rarely do they get asked or say, this is what I'm doing about it. Like the bills, they could demand border security be attached to bills or something. I know they're in the minority, but even when they're in the majority, they get very little done.
Well, yes. Do nothing, say nothing, Republican lawmakers. And I think that's what President Trump has been fighting against for a long time now. This idea that these Republicans get up there and they do not represent their constituents. They don't live up to their campaign promises, and they'd rather just get along with the Democrats. I think those people are very problematic. It's one thing to compromise, Steve, and in the course of politics, you're going to have to compromise. That's a big part of it. But you can never compromise your core beliefs. And that, for me, is the biggest problem with the Republicans.
Yeah, Lindsey Graham is a good example.
Oh, perfect example.
Always getting to the bottom of something, but he never does.
No, you know what, Steve? You're absolutely right. And Lindsey Graham is the worst. And look, the folks at Fox love Lindsey Graham. Unbelievable. Steve, got to run. Great point, though. Got to root those folks out, folks. Got to do it. All right, got to take a break here. David Barton coming up next on Constitution Day. Folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Throwing out another trivia question on this Constitution Day. Here we go. We talked about this yesterday on the program. What did President Joe Biden call the Australian Prime Minister this week? So they had a big gathering, and President Biden, he called the Australian Prime Minister by this instead of his first name. If you know the answer, give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Today is Constitution Day. And did you know that there is actually a federal requirement that all schools in America are supposed to hold an educational program on the Constitution today? Well, let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line because we want to live up to that federal requirement on this program. Our good friend from Wall Builders, Tim Barton. Tim, good to have you with us today.
Todd, thanks for having me on.
All right. So first of all, you know, I'm curious about why September 17th. Why is today Constitution Day?
Sure, because back in 1787, when the Constitution was written, it was September 17th. That the 39 individuals signed the Constitution, and so that's what we are remembering, commemorating, celebrating, was kind of that passage of the U.S. Constitution all the way back in 1787.
You know, I find it interesting that there is a requirement to teach, you know, the Constitution on this day in American public schools, but based on what I'm seeing out in the culture, Tim, I don't think many schools are doing a very good job of it.
Yeah, I think probably most schools have no idea this is actually part of federal law. I think most teachers, most superintendents, principals, whoever it is, I think they have no idea what it is. And certainly we're seeing that evidence and fruit from young people coming out of school when right now the vast majority of Americans cannot even name the three branches of government. They for sure did not learn about the Constitution and did not spend much time learning about it when they were in school. And that is a sad state of where our nation is today.
You know, that this is something maybe that our listeners can do is to contact their local school district and make sure they are abiding by the federal law.
Absolutely. I think there's probably a lot of good-hearted people who just have bad information. And certainly for everybody listening right now, it's something that you can probably contact, and you might have friends in the school district or friends that are teachers, whoever they might be, that you can let them know, hey, were you guys aware of this? Because as of 2005 is when the Department of Education said for any school receiving any kind of government funds, they are required by law to teach on the Constitution. And actually, there's all kinds of .gov websites, including the nationalarchives.gov, that has a listing of lesson plans and details and things that are there. And I would be a little hesitant to send very many people to go to a .gov website at this day and age to get information on the Constitution, because probably there's a lot of woke propaganda that is on the websites these days. But the bottom line is, it's very clear and evident from even the modern websites that this is still part of required law, federal law, under the Constitution. And simply, most people are not aware of that.
And Tim, and also, we should caution people as well, because as we know, the National Archives putting those warning labels on the Constitution and our founding documents. I mean, we don't want to unnecessarily trigger one of the woke millennials.
Correct. You know, yeah, it's so crazy that you're talking about documents who have brought more freedom, more stability, more equality, more prosperity to people than anything else in the world, arguably speaking, and we are now having this new perspective saying it's racist. And I would point people back to Frederick Douglass, who at the end of the Civil War, he became an incredible advocate for the importance of the Constitution. And one of the things that people back then had argued was the Constitution maybe was a pro-slavery document. And Frederick Douglass early on actually believed that. And Frederick Douglass, for those who might not remember, he was a black man who was a slave, and then he got his freedom, and then he was one of the leaders of the abolition movement. He helped actually recruit an entire regiment for the Union Army in the Civil War. But at the end of the Civil War, Frederick Douglass gave a lot of speeches, and some of these speeches he pointed out to people. He said, people have mistakenly argued that the Constitution was pro-slavery. He said, I've read the document, and he says, you don't find the word slave or slaveholder or slaves anywhere in the document. And if this was a pro-slavery document, surely they would have included that language somewhere in the document. He said, instead, this is a glorious document of liberty and freedom. And that's exactly what the Constitution, what the Declaration are. They've provided more the principles of freedom that have brought more stability, prosperity, and equality to people around the world than any other documents, arguably since maybe the Ten Commandments all the way back in the Old Testament times.
All right, Tim Barton on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line on this Constitution Day. You know, Tim, just a little while ago, the Lieutenant Governor of Texas was on Fox News Channel saying that it was imperative for red state governors to invoke Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution regarding invasion. I think it is so encouraging to hear lieutenant governors, to hear elected leaders, you know, again, embracing the Constitution and understanding what rights we do have under the Constitution.
Absolutely. We've seen the same thing or similar things from attorney generals where they've come out arguing for the 10th Amendment, for states' rights, the same thing against the vaccine mandate. This administration is doing so many unconstitutional things. And one of the reasons Constitution Day is important is because if we knew the Constitution, we would be able to recognize and identify more quickly if somebody was doing something unconstitutional and hold them accountable for that. But we are seeing, as you mentioned, lieutenant governors or attorney generals, sometimes even governors standing up to an administration that is using bully tactics, doing things that are unconstitutional. But because these attorney generals, because these lieutenant governors or governors are familiar enough with the Constitution, they're able to use it, which is exactly what the founding fathers intended. This was a tool to explain the role and the limitations of the federal government. And it certainly is the way we hold the federal government accountable when they begin doing things outside the spectrum of what they have the authority to do.
And I think, Tim, what's concerning is that you've got a lot of elected leaders that have never read the Constitution. They don't understand the Constitution, our founding documents, and therefore they are implementing laws and other measures that are contrary to the Constitution and our founding documents.
You're exactly right. One of the things that would be interesting to see is if we just gave a basic Constitution kind of literacy test to elected members of Congress, the House, the Senate, it would be shocking how few were able to do well. You know, we might find like your Senator Ted Cruz or Mike Lee or Rand Paul. There's some people who probably score well. There's the vast majority who would not. And so when they don't even know the Constitution, we're electing people who don't know the Constitution. They're doing things that are violating our basic fundamentals in the Bill of Rights, where if you look at the Bill of Rights today, almost every single thing listed in the Bill of Rights has come under attack by the federal government. because they're passing things that are unconstitutional. But again, not only do American citizens not know the Constitution, we are electing people who don't know the Constitution. That's part of why we find ourselves in the situation. But Todd, the good news and the hope is that there are things like Constitution Day to encourage and remind people to go back and study those documents. And I think right now there are more Americans excited to learn and study about the Constitution than we've seen in decades and generations, which does give hope that maybe we can get some things turned around. We can maybe limit and restrain some of what the federal government is doing.
Well said. And, Tim, we're going to have to leave it there. Where can people go if they want to find more information? Get your book, The American Story. I know you wrote that with your dad, David. Where can people go to get all that information?
Wallbuilders.com is our website. Our resources are available at wallbuilders.com, but also Amazon or wherever else books are sold. But wallbuilders.com if they want to know more and learn more about American history.
I love it. All right, Tim Barton. He is, folks, one of the most important voices in our country right now, and the work they are doing to educate our young people and even old people about what this Constitution, what our government is all about. Tim, happy Constitution Day to you.
Thank you, Todd. You too.
All right. Good guy right there. I wonder what they do for Constitution Day down at Wall Builders. You know, do they have like a party, exchange gifts? I don't know. I don't know. But, folks, I do. I have a lot of their books, and it just a wealth of information, a wealth of knowledge. By the way, you know, we mentioned Benjamin Franklin being 81 years old when he signed the Constitution. By the youngest delegate. The youngest delegate, Jonathan Dayton, age 26 years old, 26 years old. Very, very young folks that were involved in the founding of this this great country. All right, we've got folks wanting to play trivia here, and let's go to the phones. Darlene, Morehead City, North Carolina. Darlene, President Biden, he forgot the name of the Australian Prime Minister. What did he call the guy?
Can I change one word in the answer?
Given me an answer yet. So
I think he said the guy down under.
Let's go to the tape on that. We don't need tape on that. Yeah, that's right. He did that fella down under. The fella down under. That's what he said. And congratulations, Darlene. You are the winner.
Great. Thank you.
All right. So, well, you're the winner of that question, but now we've got another question for you.
I know.
All right. Here we go here. We want to know who was called the father of the Constitution. Who was the father of the Constitution?
Jefferson.
Oh, no. I am so sorry, Darlene. Good guess, but that was not correct. Thank you for playing. Let's go to Stephen in Arkansas. So, Stephen, we know that you, too, got the answer right, that fella down under. And we're going to give you an opportunity to win the prize of the day. We need to know who was the father of the Constitution. All right. I think Stephen left us. All right. So, Stephen, thank you for playing. Let's go to John in Georgia. Hi, John. How are you?
Wonderful. How are you?
John, doing well. So, the question has already been answered, but you got it right as well. The man down under, the fella down under. We need to know, though, who was the father of the Constitution?
John Adams.
Oh, no. I am so sorry, John, but thank you for playing. So the question remains and stands, ladies and gentlemen. Who was called the father of the Constitution? 844-747-8868. If you know the answer, that's 844-747-8868. Folks, I got to tell you about Mike Lindell and the great, great products he has developed. The most recent, the beautiful Giza Dream bed sheets. Those bed sheets are durable and soft, breathable, and I love them. Mike is offering our listeners Giza Dream bed sheets with a 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty, and 50% off. This is an incredible price, 50% off the Giza Dream sheets. You're going to be able to pick up a set of those sheets for as low as $49.99. All you need to do is go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener's square. You can use the promo code STARNS. You will not only find that amazing offer, but deep discounts on every other MyPillow product, including the pillows, the mattress topper, and the towel sets. That's MyPillow.com. Use the promo code STARNS or call 800-839-8506. That's 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS. We'll be right back.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
Let's go to the phones. Let's try Greg in Maine, WLOB. Greg, here's... I'm good. Thank you for asking me, sir. All right, who is the father of the Constitution, Greg?
I'm going to go with George Washington.
Oh, Greg, I'm terribly sorry. That is incorrect. Let's go to Zach in Gainesville, Georgia. That's Gainesville is sort of the trivia capital of the world, if I'm reading this correctly. Zach, how are you doing today?
Great, Todd. Thanks.
Wonderful. All right, Zach, who was the known as the father of the Constitution?
James Madison, our fourth president.
Guess what? Yes, you are absolutely correct. As a matter of fact, he drafted most of the Bill of Rights, so he did a lot of writing and maybe should have gotten a byline, at least, Zach. You know, the U.S. Constitution by James Madison. So you are correct, sir. And, Zach, we're going to put you on hold. Congratulations. We're going to get you a little prize in the mail. And don't forget, all you folks in Gainesville, Georgia, all of North Georgia, we're going to be holding my Big Faith and Freedom Celebration next week at Truett McConnell University. We'd love for you to come out and be a part of that. Sarah Huckabee Sanders is our keynote speaker. She'll be delivering remarks. We're doing a Q&A, going to have a big dinner. It's going to be a lot of fun. So you should come out and hang out with us. We'll be doing some book signings there as well. So come on out to Truett McConnell University next week. All of the information on their website at truett.edu. All right, let's go to the phones. Connor in Boston wants to weigh in on this vaccine and the obit. Hey, Connor, what's happening?
Hey, Todd, I'll tell you, you know, this whole vaccine situation is just out of control. And the fact that they're doing it in the obituaries, it's like, are they going to write an obituary for Class in America? I mean, seriously. Are they going to write seriously about this family? You know, and it's terrible that this woman died. But what about all the undocumented Democrats coming over the border who are not vaccinated? Is that an issue? Would the paper run that? Because it might not be a liberal issue. I mean, seriously. It's just ridiculous, and I've heard of this happening before, and people just really need to stop making these types of things about themselves, and it's really got to be about the person who unfortunately passed away. I mean, come on, people.
You know, Connor, I mean, it really is about politics with these people, and they're ruthless, just ruthless. We saw this just what yesterday. Video came out of the San Francisco mayor. London Breed is her name, and she was out doing karaoke and partying with the founders of Black Lives Matter, captured on video, not wearing any face masks. I mean, you're not even allowed to go into any of these places without a face mask, yet the mayor of San Francisco was allowed to disobey the laws put forward by Gavin Newsom.
And I'll tell you, you know, I'm using air quotes here, but the president of the United States, who knows, maybe he'll be out there having a party with the Taliban. I mean, he seems to love them so much. So.
Yes, making the Taliban great again, they say.
Exactly.
So, yes, indeed. All right, Connor, good hearing from you, sir. And you take care of yourself, our favorite millennial up in Boston, MA. By the way, Grace, I know you're a big guy. You're getting ready to go to New Orleans, and we were talking about the hotel.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I recommended the Ritz-Carlton.
Yes.
But you might want to consider Airbnb.
I've done them many times.
There is an interesting Airbnb in the UK. The house looks just like it's in the woods, and it's made to look just like Winnie the Pooh's home.
Sounds like this could be something in a scary movie, but continue.
No, it's really cool.
Oh, okay.
So it's the entire house, Airbnb, it's a tiny home in Nutley, England, And it's
like a cottage.
It's a cottage, but it's built into a giant tree. It's made to look like a giant tree,
or like a hobbit home.
So, no, it's a Winnie the Pooh home.
Okay,
and you can. It's the whole thing was designed by and in honor of Pooh's 95th anniversary.
Aww.
And the whole thing looks just like you would imagine a place where Winnie the Pooh would live.
It sounds adorable.
If a bear actually, you know, had furniture from West Elm.
That's fair.
So I'm just going to say. And very good fashion. I mean, it's a very stylish home. I will say that. So anyway, that story up on FoxNews.com. The home, it resembles Pooh's treehouse, sleeps four guests, two on the mezzanine level. And there's a sign that says Mr. Sanders' home, and they've got like a door and honey pots. You got to have the honey pots if you're going to do Winnie the Pooh. That's all I'm going to say. $105 a night, that's not too bad. I mean, if you're a bear, I mean, you don't have to cough up a few bucks, but there you go. So, and you can actually start booking on the 20th of September. So there you go. Folks, been a lot of fun this week. We're going to do this all over again on Monday. Want to thank our great team here, Grace Baker, Kyle, the engineer, and all sorts of stuff happening. Where's Avery? We'll try to get Avery next week. So he's off at school. Folks, you get out there, be good this weekend, and whatever you do, be sure to go to church on Sunday.